Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 46 for February 27th, 2014. I am your host with a cold, Owen Flelling.
And I'm your host with a cold coming on soon, Matthew McClatchy. Trevor already has a big cold and he's not coming tonight. But that's not why he's not coming.
No, that's right. He just... yeah, hates all the listeners and didn't want to show up tonight.
That's basically it, yeah. No, he's like, no, screw them, I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like, I'm going to go play with my 1911 because it's awesome and Glocks suck. That's basically what he said to me, word for word. Well, I may have been paraphrasing slightly, but pretty much.
Yep, well, you know.
Eh, what are you going to do? He's not here to defend himself, so we're going to put words in his mouth. Ha-ha!
I haven't even listened to last week's show. That's how terrible this is.
Well, weren't you on last week's show?
I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't. Oh.
Wasn't. And you got, I'm pretty sure you guys threw me under the bus a lot because I woke up with a sore back.
All those knives sticking out of it?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we were too unkind, although I have the memory of a goldfish, so we could have said really bad things. I got no idea.
I have no idea either. Isn't there.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's pretty much the show this week.
They wish. So, why don't I start off, if that's all right?
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Are you sure?
I guess so.
Okay. You can tell we're Canadian, eh?
No, you go first. No, I insist. You go first. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
I'm more sorry.
No, I... All right, quick. Tell us what you did before people start throwing up.
Not a lot, actually. I did get some things. I'm turning into the new Trevor. I bought more stuff this week.
Cool. So, that's always fun.
Yeah, I bought us more stuff.
Oh, well, hey. See, I'm in. I like this.
That's right. A large order, well, not a large order, but an order of Glock mags.
Oh, yes. These are the KCI ones, right?
These are the KCI ones, yes.
The 17 rounders pinned to 10. I like those. So I have, well, I've already got a couple, and they're so much easier to load.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what everybody says, complains about. Now, I haven't actually shot with these yet. But as far as dropping free, there's no issues. And, you know, they look just like the other ones I have. I have five of them.
Yep.
So, you know, other ones that I got earlier when I got my Glock. And they work just fine. I've had no problems. So.
Well, that's good. The two that I have, they feed fine.
Yeah.
They feed and shoot no problem. One of them drops free, no problem. But the other one, if the slides, it will drop free if the slide's closed. But if the slide's open, it will hang up sometimes. So.
Well, I went through and checked these when you told me that, and I didn't have any problems with any of them. So,
oh, good. I'm glad about that.
Yeah, hopefully that should be all right.
Yep.
And I got some 30 rounders as well.
Some 30 rounders, nice. Because who needs a Glock, or who doesn't need a Glock with a 30 round magazine pinned to 10?
Exactly. Sticking out the bottom. Oh yeah.
Very nice.
Just for the heck of it. Anyway. Sure. The next thing, I guess, that I got to do this, try to do this somewhat chronological, and I've already screwed that up because I got the Glock mags after I got the Fast Mags.
Ooh, Fast Mags. Now, Fast Mags aren't really magazines, are they?
No, that's right. They are actually mag holders. Not mag holders.
Not, no. Not
They are.
Not housekeeper mag holders. But,
yes, yeah. They're pouches that hold mags.
Right.
So I got some for Belt and for Molly. These are actually not even mine, so I'm not even sure why I'm talking about them.
Because they're cool. And but we happen cool. to know a website where you could go and buy them if you wanted
right.
them. PressTrackVentures.com, anyone? I don't know. Just saying. They're on the website. Go check them
yeah.
out.
So I like them. I mean, I haven't actually put any on my gear or trained with them or actually gone to the range with them, but they're well made. They're very well made.
These are Kydex or polymer-style mag holder, right, that actively retains it without straps and loops and stuff getting in the way?
Exactly.
Nice. I like that.
They work well. So, yeah, got that in. And then today, some new training aids came in.
You got two new Glocks, didn't you?
I bought two new Glocks, yes.
But we're going to shoot each other with them.
We're going to shoot each other with them.
Because they're actually airsoft.
Yeah, these are probably the nicest airsoft guns I've ever seen. And these aren't even probably top of the line. But.
And now, tell us about your extensive airsoft history and experience. This is where I'm going to insert the sound of crickets chirping, right?
Yes, so, exactly.
These may be the nicest ones you've seen, but the only other ones you've seen come from Walmart.
Exactly. As soon as I got home, I whipped them out of the box and...
promptly shot your kids with them.
And I promptly put a... Yeah, well, we won't say what I did with them.
Oh.
I pulled it out of the box, and I was remarkably surprised with actually how realistic they are. I figured they'd be close, but there's a lot of detail here that is very similar.
That's cool.
They're like the Gen 3s. They have the Gen 3 style mag release, which I hate.
Which I like.
And you like. The gun itself, I thought I'd do a little compare and contrast here.
Sure, why not?
Because I have a real Glock 17.
What?
Here,
oh,
yes.
Wait, so do I.
And I have the fake one. They are basically identical in almost every way. Now, the slide appears to be a little bit more squared on the airsoft.
Oh, okay. They didn't round the corners as much.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a little bit deeper top to bottom, top of the slide to bottom of the rail, I guess.
So the airsoft slide is actually just a little bit taller?
No, I think it's the plastic underneath, the frame that's a little bit...
Oh, okay.
And so as a result, it does not fit in my cheap Phobos paddle holster.
How about your concealment solutions?
I didn't try it in that, but it should be fine in that.
Right, because that has a little bit of play in it anyway, because it's the
leather backing would give it enough room, I think.
Yeah.
Weight-wise, it is still lighter than a real gun.
Mm-hmm.
The real Glock unloaded is 640 grams, and the airsoft is about 420.
Oh, okay, so it's almost 20% lighter.
Yep. Now the magazines, interestingly enough, are heavier.
Heavier so than an unloaded mag, right? Not heavier than a loaded mag.
No, they're heavier than a loaded mag.
Really? Oh, you know why? Because ours are pinned to 10.
Yes, that's right. They're probably closer to what an actual fully reloaded 17 rounds of.
So it's kind of ironic that we have to go to airsoft to feel what it's like to have a fully loaded magazine.
Because my loaded magazine I have here with 10 rounds is just under 200 grams, and the airsoft one is 270.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You pick it up, you notice it, but it's not a huge difference. Okay. But once you put the magazine in the gun, then it, because of that slight difference, it feels like a loaded gun. I mean, it balances just exactly the same that a loaded.
Nice.
17. Yep.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's nice.
Those will make for some fun force on force training.
Oh yeah, they will for
which
sure.
Which is kind of the idea for getting them. We didn't become airsoft geeks. We just wanted to be able to shoot each other and not really have holes.
Yeah. Bleeding holes.
Right. These are just going to be welts.
Yeah. The spring, obviously, there's not as much power there to cycle the slides, so the slides go back and forth very easily.
Now, you have fired them, right? What's the recoil like on them? Obviously, it's not going to be as much as an actual 17, but is it comparable to, like, maybe a 22 or something?
I would say it's still lighter than a 22.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, these are, the slide... goes back. These are gas blowback, I assume, is what they're called.
Yes, and these are metal slides, right?
Yes, they're metal slides. Everything else works the same. They lock back on the last shot.
Nice.
You know, all that kind of stuff. They take down basically the same way.
How's the trigger pull?
Oh, I was just... Funny you should mention that, Matthew.
Yeah.
I did a slight comparison, and the trigger is very close to the same. Interestingly enough.
Interesting.
The take-up... on it is a little bit softer on the airsoft, but its travel is about the same length. And then the brake is a little bit lighter, but it's still nice and crisp. You know, once you take it up, it is crisp.
Right.
I would say it's definitely lighter than the 17, but as far as training, it wouldn't be that much of a difference.
And what's the reset like?
I have not tried the reset.
This is live on air, the reset test.
The reset's almost identical.
Nice.
Yep.
That's cool. These will be fun to play with then.
Yeah, again, the reset's slightly lighter, but I think that's because there's lighter springs in there.
And I'm going to go ahead right now and apologize to my cats. I'm kidding. I won't actually shoot my cats. Probably.
So it came with an extra barrel, which I thought was kind of funny. I don't know what it's not. It's an external barrel, not an internal barrel. I have no idea why.
What you mean, like it's longer?
No, it appears to be the same. But
I see. Are they made of the same material?
They seem to be.
Interesting.
They appear to be. One. This one's metal. This one
is metal.
Maybe that one's plastic. I don't know. Anyway, came with one mag, and I bought enough so that we each had three.
Oh, cool.
So that makes
it... That'll give us a good...
then you can have
amount to play with there. And they load up to what, 23 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. We'll load ours to 10, right? Because we're in Canada. Well,
of course. Yeah, it's cool because the gas is all in the magazine, so everything's included. And the green gas that I bought just has a little nipple on the end of it. You take the cap off, and you just stick it in the bottom of the magazine, push, and it fills up.
So like loading a butane lighter.
Yeah.
Like refilling a butane. Yeah, okay. That's cool. That's easy enough.
Seconds, and it has a release on the back for when you're done. And
cool.
I got about 2.5 mags out of one loading of gas.
So like 50, 60 shots, 70 shots almost. 60 shots.
Something like that. That ballpark.
Well, that's enough then.
Oh yeah, because I mean, you don't, at least that way you're not, every time you load your mag, you don't have to load the gas.
Yeah, exactly.
And about 10,000 pellets, so.
Oh, wow. That should keep it going for, half an hour or so anyway.
Yeah. We will need to find something maybe to load these things because...
Are they a pain to load?
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a little gizmo somewhere we can get. I wonder if Uplula makes one.
That'll just get the kids,
Yeah, here, involved. Kids, load these up.
I let them shoot it, too.
Of course.
Quite a kick out of that.
I bet.
Even the 2-year-old.
Nice.
She was right in there.
Very nice.
Yeah, so that's it for me. I didn't do a whole lot this week. I didn't
basically
do any...
you played with Airsoft.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah. That's all right. It's better than nothing, I guess. And especially, you didn't buy them because you're an airsoft geek. You bought them because you want force-on-force training. So that's an admirable reason, and I'm happy to be a part of that, and I can't wait to shoot you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to shoot Trevor, actually. That'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
We can't talk about it on the show.
Oh, what's that?
It'll give it away.
What?
Well, sometimes we'll show up into his house and...
Oh, right. Well, he's not going to listen. It's just the two of us. He won't listen. He only listens if he's on it.
Or wait till he shows up at our somewhere where we are.
He was talking about coming to visit, actually, March break. So I'll just have him come to your place. I'll be there. We'll be waiting for him. Of course, he won't be running up the white flag as he comes in, so we'll have to assume hostile intentions and let him have it.
Yeah, I'll have the chloroform ready.
Beauty.
And we can have our balaclavas on. And
yep. Take him out.
Yeah.
Put him into the back of a blacked out van and drive off into the woods, and hopefully we don't hear the banjos.
Burn the car.
Whoa, you take these pranks just a step too far.
No. Yeah, it should be fun.
Very cool.
I don't know. I mean, the plastic, the bottom half, the plastic is definitely a cheaper plastic. It's not...
Right,
nice,
and it's clear too, right? It's not clear, but it's opaque. It's like a smoke kind of.
That's right. In your hand, it definitely doesn't look black compared to the slide, but it's not white clear plastic.
Right. Well, that's good. That's to placate the government and letting us know that we don't actually have real guns.
Right.
It's okay for us to own real guns, but we can't own fake guns that look real guns. That's just apparently that's bad for some reason.
And the sights are crap.
Ooh, I wonder if we should order some more Trigicon sights for them. You know what we could do? We've got the sights from our Glocks that were factory, right? I wonder if we could swap those out. I wonder if they'd be any better.
I don't know. These are even worse than regular Glock sights, so they're really awful. Anyway.
Cool.
I don't
That's
know
it for you?
Accurate enough to
worry about the sights, yeah. Oh, well. As long as you can shoot men at a man, you'll be all right.
That's right. Yep, cool. That's it for me.
All right. Well, my week wasn't much more interesting. I did actually manage to go to the range, though, and actually do some shooting with real guns. I met up with Tony. I think I talked about that last week. And I took him out, and we did. We started off with the safety rules again, and then went through stance, grip, sight picture, sight alignment, target alignment, everything else, and then had him squeeze off some rounds. His very first shot from, I think we started at 5 yards. It was absolutely dead center of the target. I have, I guess it's probably a 6-inch A-zone is what we were using, the target that I had. And he, right dead center. And he just continued to do that at 5 yards. So we went back to 7 yards, same thing, all the way back to 15. He kept, I think, 60 shots. I think there were six mags he went through, and every single one of them except one stayed in the A zone. He stayed inside the 6-inch group all the way back to 15 yards. This is his first time shooting a handgun ever.
Wow.
So he shot better than I did. I actually
It different than I do.
What do you
do? I start people at 50. And I give
and
them
work
a mag
your way in.
And go, see, you can't hit the target yet. You suck. And I move them into to 40.
then
and
then
say,
you slap them around a bit, put a big L on your forehead. Loser!
Yeah, exactly. Can't hit the target yet, can you? You suck. Move them in, until they get into 5 and go, see? Now you can hit the target. You still suck. Let's start. That's works. Let's start here. No, I don't actually do that.
Oh, that's funny, though. That's the way I would do it if it was somebody I didn't like.
Yeah.
But I like Tony, so I guess that was okay. So anyway, yeah, he shoots lights out. He had a lot of fun with it. I also brought the AR. We shot the AR a bunch. He's shot that before, though. He was in the reserve, so he has some experience with the C9, or C7, sorry. He did look for the fun switch. I was like, no, sorry, these ones don't have the fun switch. And then he told me a story about how he fired the gun full auto when he wasn't supposed to and had to do push-ups for doing it.
Yes, I was going to say, you get in trouble for that.
Yeah, he just got push-ups. It was no big deal. But he said it was fun, which I don't doubt for 1 second because it's full auto fun. Anyway, while we were there, we noticed a couple of other guys kind of down on the other end of the range, and they had load-bearing gear on and AR-15s, and they were shooting 30-round magazines, and they had police stenciled across their back. So lucky guys got the full unneutered mags down there, but we went down and said hi. They were RCMP officers, and one of them was a shooting instructor. And since Tony is going to be taking the RCMP shooting course for... This is why he wanted to shoot the handguns, because he hasn't shot handguns before, and he's going to be getting into the jail system, I guess. Mm-hmm. I assumed that he would be using the RCMP handgun because he's taking RCMP training. It turns out that they're not. They're using a different handgun, but regardless, we did ask if he could shoot one of the RCMP officers' handguns, and they said, yeah, that's no problem. And so he handed him the gun, and of course... The instructor was the guy who kind of oversaw him. I just kind of stepped back. And so he said, okay, well, grip the gun. And so Tony takes the grip and, does exactly what I taught him. And the instructor's like, oh, well, you already know what you're doing. Okay, good. And I was like, ooh, that's nice. I like to hear that because that means I'm teaching him right.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we were at 25 yards at this point, and there was just a full-size silhouette up down at the 25-yard mark. It was what the RCMP was using. And Tony proceeded to put all of them on target. They weren't all in the A zone. I mean, from 25 yards, that's difficult for me to do. But he did keep them all on the target. In fact, every single shot probably would have stopped whoever it was that was running at him at that distance. He kept a really good group. And the RCMP officer was very impressed with his shooting. Said he's not going to have any problem at all at training. Which Tony was kind of disappointed about, because if you're not good, you get to go after hours and shoot some more at the range, and that's what he was looking forward to. So I said, don't worry about it. When they come around to check your target, just miss a couple times. No big deal. But while he's shooting, I'm, of course, you as an IPSC shooter, I'm always counting my rounds. So as he's shooting, it's like 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then it goes 10. And I'm like, oh, slide didn't lock back. That RCMP gun sucks. and then 11, and then 12, yeah. And then, oh, yeah, full capacity mags. So, and he actually got to fire RCMP ammunition, too. So this is not the training loads that I have. This is full power loads. And absolutely no problem with him shooting them. I actually did bring some of my defensive rounds out. I do have a box of hollow points, Hornady critical defense, I think they're called. And I shot a few of them through my Glock. And I loaded a couple of training rounds and a couple of critical defense and kind of shot them to see if I could notice the difference. And you can if you look for it.
Right.
It's a little bit louder and there's a slight bit more recoil, but the Glock just, it manages the recoil so well, as at least mine does, and in my hand it does anyway. I hardly notice a difference, and all my shots were exactly where they needed to be with my training rounds anyway, so nice. Quite happy with that. So, yeah, it was a good day at the range. We also met up with somebody from Base Gagetown. His name's Jason Turgeon. So, Jason, I turned him on to the show. It was funny. We were at the range, and Jason was looking at my AR, and he said, oh, what kind of AR is that? And I said, actually, it's a Franken AR. It's kind of like a bunch of different parts from all over the place. I said, I'm on a podcast, and some of my listeners were gracious enough to donate a bunch of AR-15 parts for a build for me. He goes, oh, just like that CRR thing. I was like, yeah, that's me.
So, that's awesome.
So that was kind of cool. So anyway, Jason, shout out to you. And like I said before, contact me if you're ever back up in the area. We'll go back out to the range. It was a lot of fun shooting with you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. It for me. I guess we can move on to some upcoming events.
Alrighty. Well, t-shirt orders.
Yeah, we've said this ad nauseum. I think we can move on.
Okay.
Basically, send us your money, and t-shirts will be shipping out by the time you hear next week's show. I promise, probably.
If you've paid.
If you've paid.
If people have paid, they get their t-shirts.
Oh, and Paul, I did get your money order. I was going to send you an email, let you know that I got it, but it did actually arrive, so I don't have to send you an email now because you'll just be listening to the show. So thank you. I'll get your shirt out to you ASAP, too.
Well, there. Events, charity shoot, June 28th at the Restigouche Gun. Who organized this? The show notes here? This is awesome.
That's Trevor.
Wow. What an awesome guy.
I was just going to say, do you want to pull back that compliment now, turn it into criticism? I liked it better the other way. Why did you have to change it?
No, I just thought I'd flatter him a little bit in the middle of the show so that I don't feel so guilty about slamming him again later.
Right, which we will do.
Oh, yeah.
I hope.
So, June 28th at the Restigouche Gun and Club, we have a special guest named Steve Lee.
I think you've heard of him. He sings a couple of songs about guns.
Yep. And then there's going to be trap, small bore silhouette, rifle shooting, and IPSC style mini match. And all funds will be donated to the, oh, you did put some French in this, and now I can't read it.
Laurentides, I think
it's how is it just, oh, okay, it's just like it sounds, or it looks just like it's spelled, okay.
In English, Laurentides. I'm sure it's pronounced differently in French, but we're going to call it Laurentides, so.
All right, Autism Foundation. And they support families with autistic children.
Right, and... I was going to say something else there, but it's gone now, so I'm just going to shut up and let you keep going on.
Practical Armed Response Academy Shooting Course, August 2nd and 3rd, one-day defensive handgun with Mag 40 instructor Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes. And day two is an IPSC club-level match featuring SummerSlam's best stages, meaning...
The house, the boat, well, they burned the boat, so no boat. So the house, the maze, probably the airplane if it's set back up, the tank, and I don't know, whatever else they put in there.
But basically, being a club-level match, you don't have to have a black badge. So if you don't have your black badge, don't feel you're going to be excluded.
And laugh anyway, but you can still come shoot.
Absolutely. Yeah. I won't be there, so they'll point and laugh.
Right, and you'll point and laugh from home.
Right. I'll cry because I can't shoot there that day. It's now full.
Yes.
Oh, so we're still announcing it and promoting it even though you can't come. So that's hilarious.
Well, here's the thing. People may cancel. So if people cancel. Now, that being said, payment is due by March 15th, which is only 15 days away.
And that's right.
A grand total of zero people have paid so far. So there's a good chance that by March 16th, if people haven't paid, you'll be able to sneak your name on that list, make your payment, and usurp their spot. I'm making a decision on that right now, so it probably won't stand up, but whatever. Send your money anyway. So yeah, March 15th, send your money quick.
$200.
Cancellations, sorry?
$200.
Yes.
Yes. And cancellations by July 1st for a full refund. After that, no refund.
That's right.
Multi-gun, August 16th and 17th, 12 stages, 2 days. Yes, 2 days.
2 days. No, 16th and 17th is just the one day this year.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's an anti-leap year where they're putting 2 days together into one.
Yeah, sorry. I've got a cold. My head's not really completely here. And...
Yeah, this is new.
Yeah, that's a Restakouche Gun Club. So that's the three gun, two gun, multi gun, whatever the heck. It's got guns.
It's a three gun, and it's got guns. Yeah.
And this next thing I'm really excited about.
Should we tell them about it now, or should we wait until we actually do that segment? The thing is, they've already read about it in the show description when they downloaded the show, so they already know about it. So you might as well fill them in.
Well, we just might as well end the show then if they've already know everything then. About it.
Well, thanks for listening. Take somebody shooting.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Okay. Do you want to do the interview first then?
Yeah, let's do the interview and then we'll talk about the rest of that then.
Okay, steal my thunder.
I like what you did there. We could move on to the news though.
Oh, you want to move on to the news?
Yes, let's do the news.
Boy, this was just such a smooth transition.
No, it wasn't, but we're going to roll with it.
Trevor's... Yeah, he's either never going to come back.
Or he's going to come back and not let us talk again.
Exactly. Never let us do it again.
Well, this is his fault for going ahead and scheduling an RO training course for this weekend.
I know.
That's what he's doing, by the way. We make fun of him, but he's actually doing some pretty cool stuff. He's training more people to be ROs in IPSC. So that's a good thing.
I'm sure he'll hear all about it next week.
I'm sure we'll hear. Yeah, it'll probably take him as long to teach the lesson tonight as it will take him to explain it to us next week. He's swearing at his
sure he's
right
screaming.
Now. I know he is.
All right. He's probably at the course right now, and he's stopping.
Going, those two little.
His ears are burning.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and read this news story?
Sure. This first one is actually pretty big news.
This is kind of scary, actually.
It's kind of scary, very unfortunate. It's the RCMP reclassifying the Swiss Arms Classic Green as a prohibited rifle. Now, here's the thing. For the last, I don't know how many years, at least 10, these rifles have been imported 100% legally to Canada. The RCMP cleared them. The RCMP originally said these firearms are non-restricted. That means when they came into Canada, they were sold to people who just had their restricted licenses. They were their non-restricted licenses, and they were completely legal to do with them as they pleased. They could plink with them out on Crown land. They could take them hunting. They could, you know, they were a non-restricted firearm. They've now decided, oh, no, we made a mistake. They're now prohibited, not restricted. They're not going to jump into the restricted category where you could just take them to the range. No, they're now prohibited, and the owners are being told to return them to the RCMP. Turn them in. They are being confiscated. And the good thing is that they're going to give them... No, they're not.
No compensation.
No compensation. They are basically stealing. Now, this little blurb here I'm going to read, I found it on Facebook. Trevor pasted it on or posted it on his wall, and I stole it from him, and apparently he stole it from somebody else. I don't know where credit is due, so I'm going to say Owen wrote it. So, Owen, good job. This is what is currently being passed around on Facebook, and if you can find this, I recommend you share it to your wall as well to get this out to as many people as you possibly can. It goes, regardless of your stance on firearms in Canada, you should be very concerned that the RCMP and government is confiscating between $4 million and $7 million of legally owned, well, up until 10 p.m. last night, property. No compensation for owners. This should not happen in Canada. With this reclassification, these law-abiding, properly licensed owners of these firearms were turned into criminals overnight. The RCMP's mandate is not to make law, but rather to enforce the law enacted from our elected officials. No disrespect to my friends that are in the RCMP, but it is time to put some controls on the leadership of the force and their political agenda. And that basically sums it up. The RCMP is they're making up laws. What their rationale for this is, that the receiver is actually a variant or a derivative of the SIG 550. And the SIG 550 is a prohibited firearm in Canada because it has the capability of full auto fire. And so because these are variants of that, even if they're not capable of producing full auto fire, because they are a variant, they are now prohibited. And the RCMP, like I said, is just stealing them. They're taking them. These rifles are worth anywhere from $2,000 to $6,000.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not cheap. They're not 22s.
This isn't your single shot Cooey. This is a high end semi-auto rifle. And the RCMP are just stealing them. They're taking them. Saying no, sorry. I mean, to be fair to the RCMP, if in fact what they found was the case. Well, that's fine. Yes, these are prohibited rifles, but they should have made that decision when they first came to Canada so that they wouldn't have told people that they were legal and then basically, you know, allowed people to spend their hard-earned money on something they were just going to take away later based on their own mistake. They right. made the mistake, and they're not even going to offer any sort of compensation.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's not right. That's wrong. So yeah. I'm very upset about that. Jason Philp actually suggested that we send an email, or he suggested in an email that we should support Wetaskiwin, and I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, Member of Parliament Blaine Calkins, by providing him with a Swiss Arms rifle to see if he meant it when he said from his cold, dead hand. So apparently Blaine said that at one point.
Yes, I read that.
Jason did speak to him and determined that he does not currently own one, so that could be remedied. So if anybody wants to send Blaine a Swiss Arms, classic green, you could do that and see if he stands by his word. But it's a sad story all around. I've always wanted one of those rifles, basically because they're a fantastic high-end semi-auto, very precise rifle, and it would be a fantastic coyote rifle, I always thought. But
yeah.
A little expensive, but still, I would be severely irritated if I had purchased one and then the RCMP said, nope, give it back. So, yes. Now, here's a bit of controversy. On some of the more popular internet forums, there is talk of, well, these guns are non-registered, or unrestricted, so they won't be registered. So, you know, if you have one, just hide it. Well, we can't condone that because that's, of course, illegal, but who's to say people won't do that? And
I think there could be a large number
there of could
people
be.
That will do that.
There could be, yeah. The other thing I wanted to say was the registry, while legally fallen, while legally supposedly been dismantled and destroyed, we've heard stories recently, especially, I mean, last week we talked about the High River, RCMP using a defunct version of the registry to go targeting people and steal their guns out of their houses. So, if you do own one, I would, you know, you got to tread carefully. Think very carefully about what your actions are going to be, because they may be coming to knock on your door, because they know that even if you owned one in the past. Now, here's going to be the tricky thing: if I owned one, and I sold it legally, you know, a week ago.
Yep.
Not knowing that this was coming down the pipe, I just sold my rifle because it was time for, you know, me to regain that $3,000 back and turn it into something else. Yep. The RCMP are going to use the old registry, come knock on my door and say, we need that rifle. Well, I don't have it anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, right. No, really, I sold it last week. Yeah, I don't believe you. I'm searching your house.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So be ready for that. Be warned. And remember that the police can't gain access to your property or to your premises without a warrant. So I would highly recommend viewing that warrant before you let them cross the door.
Yep. Know the law. Know your rights.
That's right.
And exercise them. Don't be afraid to exercise them.
That's right. Just because you owned one before doesn't necessarily mean you own one now.
That's right.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, bad news all around there. So let's move on to some sort of... Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know a lot about those rifles specifically, but there was some talk that you could, I mean, potentially, they come apart, am I right, similar to an AR?
Like I think so, yes.
There's an upper and a lower.
The
and,
difference is with these ones, it's the upper that's the registered part, not the lower.
But my understanding is that there is an other part that is legal that will fit on these and that you could strip the upper.
Oh, I see. I mean, turn in your receiver, but then still have enough of a rifle left over that you could still be able to use it if you were to purchase the legally.
I forget who makes them, but it's not a Swiss Arms anymore.
Right.
It becomes the other rifle. But
that's right. But at least you might be able to recoup some of your losses. Yeah, if any listeners own one, you know. In fact, I think I know one of our listeners that owns one, and I'm not going to mention his name just in case. But I'm pretty sure I know somebody who owns one. So it will be interesting. You know who you are. Send me an email. If you don't want to send it, if you don't want it read on air, just indicate that. Just send us an email at the show. Let us know what your intentions are and how you feel about this whole situation because, you know, it's a pile of crap if you ask me.
Oh, so, absolutely. Big pile.
Yep.
All right. Next little piece of news. Home invasion in Kitchener, Ontario area. One man is dead and another charged with murder after an apparent home invasion went awry in the Kitchener area Sunday night. Shot and killed was Henry Jarsh. Jarsh? Jarsh.
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 That's
Henry
my guess.
Henry Jarsh. Yeah. Charged with second-degree murder is Crawford Lamka, 26. Waterloo Regional Police went to the house in response to report of gunshots. They found Jarsh already dead outside the home, which remained under police guard Monday. The body was taken to Hamilton for an autopsy. Two other alleged invaders were found a short distance away with non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. Lamka, who lived at the house, appeared briefly in Kitchener Court Monday afternoon along with the two accused robbers. Claude Ouellette, 52, of Kitchener, is charged with possession of a .22 caliber handgun and accessory to murder for allegedly helping Crawford Lamka flee. I believe the police are operating on the belief it was a home invasion in which the victims turned the tables, said Brennan Smart, the lawyer representing Lamka. Staff Sergeant Shana Morris, a spokesperson for police, described the incident as a break and enter with violence. She also said Crawford Lamka and the other three suspects are known to police and that this was not a random incident.
So it does sound like there's a bit of illegal activity going on here, maybe some gang-related stuff, not entirely sure. But it does go to show that if your house is being invaded and you have a firearm, chances are you're going to end up still alive at the end of it. I guess it's time to move into our main topic.
Woohoo! Okay, and joining us now is Daniel Shaw of Gunfighter Cast. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, Daniel.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Yes. How are you?
I am amazing.
Yes, you are. And humble, I might add. Quite humble.
I meant feel amazing.
Oh, you feel not you just are amazing. I am amazing. And on top of that, I'm omnipotent, just in case you were wondering.
I wish I had those skills. No.
Yeah, I missed you the first time you were on the show. Unfortunately, I very much regret that.
I miss you too, Owen.
Yeah.
Okay, that isn't what I meant either, but, you know. Oh, that's good. So, just to kind of fill people in who are listening, who don't know yet, we are planning in October the 11th, to be specific, to have Daniel Shaw come up and teach a tactical carbine class.
Whoa, what?
Carbine.
No, carbine. There you go.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Just trying to make our guests feel at home.
I'll say carbine all night.
Beauty.
So I'm very excited about this. Trevor, I guess, was the one who kind of initiated this and set it up. It's too bad he's not here tonight.
No, it's not. It's okay.
I miss him, too.
Yeah.
So, very excited about that. First off, before we get into too many details about it, Daniel, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and fill people in And
because let's be honest here, people who back in episode 10, if those people are still listening, they probably don't have brains left. So they'll need to be reintroduced to you anyway. And then, of course, the new listeners who started listening, you know, a couple weeks ago, they haven't left yet. So we got to, you know, we can't assume we've got the same listener base here.
We have a small window. Okay.
Right.
Well, like you guys said, I'm Daniel. I am the producer and host of the podcast, Gunfighter Cast. It was a silly idea. I presented to my wife. I said, hey, babe, you know this astronomy podcast that I like? I could do this about guns and training. I'm going to go buy a microphone and talk on it, and everybody on the internet is going to listen to it, and it's going to be great. She's like, you're out of your freaking mind. Nobody's ever going to listen to that crap. And then next thing you know, they actually started listening to it, and it's been amazing. And I just met like the coolest people out there in the industry.
Well, wait. Didn't you meet the gun dudes?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Right, so you can't really say the coolest people then now, can you?
Okay, well, yeah, they're...
Well, he did eventually meet us, so...
That's right, so, yeah. Okay.
We'll make them like the baseline. You know, those are... When you're above those, I don't know, I'm just going to stop. You know, everybody likes to joke on the gun dudes, but, you know, when you really get down to it, man, those are some awesome guys, man, really good people. And, you know, they've done a lot of stuff for me. When I was still in the Marine Corps, I just recently retired last March after 16 years. President of the United States was, you know, they were doing a lot of military cutbacks, and they started offering early retirement, and, you know, I jumped on it. So I retired at 16 years, and which is great. But when I was still in, I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan for my last 3 years, and the gun dudes raised the money to fly me out to Salt Lake City and Masada Ayub to take a Masada Ayub course. And I took that course, and then they flew me back home, and the guys wouldn't let me pay for anything the whole time we were out there. And it was just, it was awesome, man.
I remember that. Yeah, that was really, really cool of them.
It was super cool, man. I was like, that's probably the coolest thing that anybody has ever done for me. And I really just can't even express how awesome it was for them to do that, man. Didn't even know me except for listening to the podcast. And, you know, we had talked on the phone a couple times, but other than that, it was huge. It was great.
Absolutely. That's really cool. Yeah. No, they are pretty good guys, I guess. Yes. I mean, now that you've taken the high road, I guess I'll follow you along.
But, you know, I guess I was supposed to talk about me. I hate doing that. You know, I spent a lot of time in the Marine Corps, you know, doing, I guess, you know, operational type things. A couple of deployments to Iraq. First real combat deployment was really back in 1998. You know, I joined the Marine Corps in 97, and I did a MEW float in 98. There was some stuff going on in Albania. You know, I've just been around, I guess, the world, either training with foreign soldiers or training foreign soldiers. I've been in many jobs. I found myself early on a special team that I just got lucky and got the perfect, the stars were aligned, and I was able to get with some guys who were just really slick and really knew their stuff. And I latched onto that. I was like, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to know. And I just learned so much from them my first couple of years in the Marine Corps. And I would hear them talking, and I was like, oh, got to go stand next to them because they're going to say something that's going to be awesome, and I'm going to learn something today. And I would do that. And then every unit I'd go to, I'd find that guy that just knew everything, the go-to guy. And then next thing you know, I'm at a unit, and they're like, hey, Shaw, you're going to run this range. Hey, Shaw, you're going to do this.
So I would start talking. You were the go-to guy.
Exactly. And I would start seeing the people are coming around me asking me questions, and it took me a while. It happened for about a year before I even realized it was happening. And I was like, wow, I'm that guy that I used to really look up to now. And now these guys are looking at me that way. So then I took that as a big responsibility to make sure I knew what I was talking about every time and not just, you know, saying something like some people do a lot. So really have some good science, some good history behind everything I was talking about or teaching or anything else. And every unit I'd go to for then, I thought I was going to the Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team and Marine Corps Security Forces to go burn cocoa fields with Navy SEALs down in South America and do all kind of cool stuff, reinforce embassies for terrorist attacks and all that good stuff. But I got there to that school and completed the school, and they're like, yeah, you're not going to FAST. You're staying here and being an instructor. Actually, we're going to make you a weapons team leader. And I was like, what? You know,
I wanted to go burn fields down.
Yeah, I was like, I want to go shoot people. You know, and it just that happened to me for probably my last 8 years in the Marine Corps, and it just everywhere I went, they're like, hey, you've got this job, but you've also got this additional duty of teaching everybody things, and it was just, and then I got kept at that school, which was really cool, and then I got put in my last 3 years, I spent training Marines for going to Afghanistan, getting them guys ready. And every exercise we do in the Pacific Theater, one of the guys from my little small eight-man team would be with that unit, making sure they did things right, running the ranges for them, teaching and everything, and you know, briefing everybody from young little private PFC Lance criminals all the way up to you know, colonels and generals. And you know, it was awesome. And I would not trade what I did in the Marine Corps and joined the Marine Corps a month after I turned 17 years old for anything in the world. It let me know what I want to do with my life, what I like to do. So I kept the same thing going, you know, being able to retire. And I wouldn't have been able to accept this early retirement if it wasn't for Gunfighter Cast and people sending me emails like, "Hey, dude, when are you going to teach a class? When are you going to do this? I want to come sign up." And I said, "All right, fine. I will retire. I will take this retirement." And I started a company called Paratus Academy. And next thing I know, my wife's like, "Babe, you're going more now than you were in the Marine Corps," because I had classes all over the place. And then I ran across these guys here, where it brings me to, I guess, full circle to Thunderbird Tactical in Wichita,
perfect,
Kansas.
Yeah.
I didn't even plan it that way. It just happened. That was great.
It's like you've done this before. It's like you have your own show or something.
But yeah, and so they're building a new facility, a multi-million-dollar facility. That's not just a place to go shoot guns, but a place to train, you know. And it's going to be great. Everything from simunitions to laser trainer to you can actually go out on the indoor range and practice drawing from the holster, reloads, all that stuff. Shoot as fast as you want with your rifle. Practice your reloads, clear stoppages, whatever you need to do to actually train to fight, not just go to a range and shoot. And you know, we also provide that training and everything else if they want to go that route.
Well, that's really important, because I know a lot of ranges have rules about rapid fire and about drawing from holsters and, you know, silly rules to cover their own butts, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, some ranges you kind of have to understand where they're coming from. There are a lot of numpties out there who like to shoot themselves in the toe.
Well, so there's a lot of folks who just really, they don't understand how important it is to train for defensive use of a firearm. And
right,
some people don't even own firearms. A lot of folks just started ranges years ago, bought guns because they can, so they can sight in their deer rifles and things
right,
like that.
Yep.
I'm of a totally different mindset. I don't even look at guns. That there's a lot of folks that I went to a conference recently, and everybody was talking about promoting the sport. And you know, I didn't raise my hand in front of everybody, but I really wanted to. I was like holding my hand down with my other hand, because I really wanted to get up and say, "What's wrong with you people?" And these are like leaders in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What is wrong with you people? You know, it's not about sport. It's about saving lives.
It's about, you know, defense. It's, yeah, I mean, you don't go and learn CPR for the art of it."
Yeah, I mean, you guys need to make money. I get it. And you're dancing around issues. But if we're dancing around issues and we're the leaders of the industry, then how can we expect our people to say, "Hey, go fight for your rights. Go fight to maintain our Second Amendment that we have in the United States."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I just didn't get it at all. It didn't make any sense. I didn't like what I was seeing. I was like, when I do this, when I'm designing a class, yeah, I need to sell the class. I got to, or I don't exist anymore as a trainer, because that's just bottom line. It's the way
sure,
it is.
Yep.
But like my class that I'm going to teach you guys, Carbine Vitals 1, and I'll get back to the Wichita thing, I guess, here in a second, maybe.
Sure.
Rabbit hole. Here I go. I designed, and I was telling somebody a couple of days ago, they're like, "So what do you do in your handgun class, for example?" I name off everything I do in the class. Name off everything I do in the rifle class. And I say, but I designed this class not so you're going to master any one skill, where I teach you how to shoot good and we just do that all day. Or I teach you how to reload the gun and we just do that 50 times. We just rep a reload drill. You can go out to the range with your buddy and rep those things all you want. But you're not going to pay me money for me to call drills for you. You're paying me to teach you things. So I'm going to bring you out to the range and you're going to learn a lot of concepts, a lot of skills, a lot of techniques. You can retain as many as you can. Whatever fits the most in your life, which is most important, naturally those are going to be the ones you retain the best. But your training doesn't end that day. You call me, you ask me, you talk to me, you come by, and I'll explain that again. So in case you forgot some parts of it, it's just the way it is. Or come jump in another class if you want to do it again. But we hit a lot of things all in one day. And when I was sitting down thinking about how I'm going to do this, what am I going to teach on this day, what would I do in a level one class, a level one handgun? I might have a soccer mom on one end of the court, or one end of the range, and I might have a Wichita SWAT cop on the other side. What can I teach these people that's going to be good? And I asked myself, if I knew my wife was going to get in a gunfight tomorrow, what would I teach her? And I only had 8 hours to prepare her. What would I teach her? And you know, that's kind of what it is. It really is. I kept that in mind. Said somebody that I love, what would I want them to know? And that's why I called it the vitals, you know, carbine vitals and and handgun.
It's okay. I'll edit that part for you.
Because I wanted to, yeah, and I wanted to give out what I felt was most vital if you were going to fight. And that stuff's not because I watched a video or because I sit for hours and thought of some new technique that I can call the Shaw technique or something like that. I don't have anything like that. I don't think I'll ever have anything like that that has my name on it. What I have is, you know, all my years of experience, and then drawing on all the years of experience that I've, people that I've put myself next to, that I've learned from, that I trust 100% everything they say. And because I've seen them perform and I've seen what they've done, I've fought beside them. Whatever, and that firsthand information. If it's not firsthand, I'm not going off of it. If it's somebody, oh, I heard this happen in a fight, that's not evidence to me. It needs to be unarguable. Like, I can see a video, I see this happening, or I saw it with my own eyes, or I got it from one of those people that I just totally trust 100%. And it's not anything cool guy. There's some stuff that people are going to have a great time. It's going to be fun. But it's not what I would call entertainment. And there's a lot of folks doing that, and I don't agree with that. I think we can have a lot of fun and do things that are important at the same time. So I told Ryan that whenever he was interviewing me, the owner of Thunderbird. I told him when he was interviewing me on the phone, I said, I don't know, man, you got an indoor range, you know? I didn't say it like that. It was an interview. It was much more tactful. But I was like, you know, the way my curriculum is designed and the way I do this, the way I explain it to people and the context that it's in, I just can't in good conscience – tell somebody that, hey, you need to go practice these things because I know I taught you a lot today. Now it's your job to take those concepts and go, you know, work for mastering those concepts. If I can't supply a place, but you can't do it here. I can't say go do this, but you can't do it here on our range. I said, I can't do that. And he said, don't worry about it. We got that covered. You are going to develop a system that allows people to go train on the range. So now if you want to come train on Thunderbird, you pay your money, you come out there and you shoot. You can't do anything from the holster. You can't do any clear stoppages or reload the gun. You have to shoot one round per second like every other range does in the area or in most places in the U.S. But if you are one of those guys who wants to train, you're going to pay somewhere around $20, $25. You're going to hang out with me, you're one of my instructors, for about 45 minutes. We're going to work on everything that has to do with that rifle. We're going to work on everything that has to do with that handgun, drawing from the holster, clearing stoppage, everything. And then at the end of that, you're going to do a quick little performance evaluation to show that you are competent and you are safe with that gun and you can do these techniques correctly and efficiently and safely. And then for the next year, you're qualified to go on the range and train. And
that's cool. So they get a little mini training course with you, and that allows them to...
Exactly. You can't beat $25
no.
to go for 45 minutes of instruction, you know? I mean, for a handgun, we're not talking about teaching your dog to sit or stay.
Right.
You know, we're talking about something that can save your life, man.
That's right.
You know, and it's awesome. It really is. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we have going for us, that you can actually train there. And to be allowed to get trained there, you're going to get training for next to nothing. You know?
That's really cool.
Well, I think it's neat just to hear your background. I didn't realize – the detail. I didn't know as much detail about your background in the military. I think it's neat to see someone who has such an aptitude for teaching, kind of being pushed into those roles like you did. So often you see people or hear of people who say, oh, I spent so long in the military and I can do this and I can do that and I can do the next thing. And they go and try to teach it, but maybe they're not actually able to teach it. But you, that's what you did. You can do it. But that was your job, was teaching it. And so that's, I mean, I just, to the people who are going to be listening to this and think about coming to the course, that's worth its weight in gold right there, to have someone who's actually good at teaching it. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. You know, and say, for example, when I was every time I've been in an infantry battalion, you know, I did my regular job as a squad leader or a section leader. That was my job. But then, hey, we're going to the field next week. You make sure your squad's ready to go or your section's ready to go doing this. But for these hours of these days and these few days, you're going to have to leave your first squad leader or first fire team leader in charge or something like that, or you know, whatever section assistant section leader or whatever we had set up right then. I would leave one of those guys in charge, and I'd have to go run ranges and go do things and help the battalion gunner do things. You know, so it wasn't the whole like can't do so you got to teach. It was you're going to do both and you better figure out how to do it.
Yeah,
it was.
That's awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Owen.
No, please, you.
I forget what I was going to say already.
No, so do I.
Me too.
Speaking of professional.
That's right. Or anything but. So, what? Well, let's go on a little bit into maybe the course info. What types of things are going to be in this class in October? I mean, without going into a lot of detail and giving away, you know, all your secrets, because we want people to come to the class.
Yeah, well, we're going to do a lot of stuff. We're going to work on getting hits, and most of the stuff's going to be close range. I understand that you in Canada, you can have your rifles at a rifle range, or you can have them at home. That's pretty much it. Is that correct?
That is correct.
For our AR-15s.
These rifles that we're using, yeah, ARs.
Right. So your application is either going to be have fun at the range, target practice, a little bit of training, or actually using it in the home defense type scenario.
Right, or competition.
Or competing, okay? Right. Yep. And all those skills are going to cross over, what That's we're going right, to work yep. on. To the competition, whether we're talking about weapons manipulation, just transitioning from target to target, or weapons presentation, whatever we're talking about doing, those skills are going to carry over, whether we're just plinking at the range or, you know, getting us faster at competition, on our reloads, clearing stoppages, everything else, getting set up for that next area as we're moving to another one. We're going to work on all those things, moving forward, backward, laterally, clearing stoppages. We're going to set up stoppages and fix that gun. And we're going to do it with a sense of urgency. And that's one thing I really try to get across, and I push, and I try to put it in the best context I can for whatever the group is. We go to the range and we have a magazine or two filled, and we just, I'm out of ammo. Let me pop the next one in. And I get people all the time with handgun or rifle. They're like, you know, I've done a lot of stuff, shot really fast. I've worked on that, but I've never really worked on reloading fast. And I'm like, really? You know, that's like my favorite thing to do. And it's like that little details in a reload. You know, somebody watching you do that, and just small little details that you can do to speed those things up, or clearing stoppages and everything else, can make a huge difference. Some techniques from walking and shooting, moving forward and backward and laterally, and you know, it's the class isn't. I won't discuss competition. I may bring it up for a few times and some different things, if that's what helps to get a point across. But I put it all in defensive context, shooting humans that are trying to kill you. That's the way everything's phrased, everything's taught, that's the way it's designed. Someone's coming in your house, and I've got this rifle. Handguns suck. I don't care if you got a 45. It sucks.
And yeah, if you have access to a rifle and a handgun and you're going into a gunfight, take the rifle every time. There's no competition.
Yeah. Wow, I don't care 45 because they don't make a 46. You know,
well, they do make a 223, I'm just saying.
Yeah. But it's... Yeah, man, that's a rifle's just tremendously more devastating on the body. And, you know, learning to use that thing, it is a skill in itself, getting good accurate hits. We're going to zero optics. One thing that – I don't know what range you guys like to zero at, but what kind of competition – what kind of ranges do you shoot at in competition?
No more than 50 yards usually. Every now and then we'll go out to 100, but that's rare.
Okay, so I may change a little something. Then again, I may not, that I normally do. I like to zero at 36 yards, but for you guys, we may change it to a 50-yard zero because that just would probably make a lot more sense for you because you're close in. We'll get that optics hide over bore a little bit closer together. That's one thing
I
explain.
That's what I usually zero at anyway. Sorry about that. I was just saying that's what I usually zero at anyways, 50 yards.
For what you're doing, it's probably the best choice. Yeah. It really is. Cool. And, you know, we're going to have a final event. You know, once we learn a lot of techniques, you're going to have to use all those techniques individually.
That'll be fun.
In front of everybody else with a little bit of cardiovascular activity happening.
Nice. So I'm totally going to kick Trevor's butt.
So he's not here to defend himself.
That's what makes it funny.
Exactly.
You know, I don't change my personality on a podcast. I don't change it when I get on the range. There's things that I talk about. If you ever listen to me in a podcast, depending on what we're doing or goofing off, I'm laughing, I'm joking. But then when something serious comes up, I get serious, man. Yep. And that happens a lot in the class. And I find it, people are like, man, I didn't know if you were angry for a second there. Because there's something that's really important I need to get across that I'm serious about. I'm talking about one thing, but there's a memory in my head that I'm thinking about something else at the same time, you know? And I just go to a certain place sometimes and just, I guess more stern than usual. But then I'm joking again right away after it. And people are like, man, that what you said there was like, holy crap. but then you were making fun of somebody for farting, and then whatever. A second later, it has to be fun. People have to have a good time. Yeah. They have to enjoy it. And what I'm finding from these classes, the handgun and the rifle classes, is people are walking away from them thinking about, man, I need to shave a couple of pounds, man. I need to get in a little bit better shape. Man, I need to get better at these skills. I really sucked at that. I gotta work on this. Holy crap, I didn't know I was that bad at that. And like, wow, that made a lot of sense for what you said about having a fight, you know? And because I get into some experiences that I've had, and some things where I've had some really serious gut checks for myself, to where you know, maybe I was about to quit, or I did. And the fighting, we don't rise to the occasion. You know, like people, a lot of people think, so, oh, well, if my kid's trapped under a car, I'll have that superhuman strength like that mom did and lift that kid off the car. Whatever, man. Not going to happen. And you're not some super awesome gunfighter because suddenly you have adrenaline dump. You actually begin to suck at things more in some occasions. And you know, it's about training. It's about what you did before that fight. And I guarantee you, when you get in that fight, if you have time to think before you die, I wish I'd have done more. You know, mm-hmm. And we don't want to think that. We want to do what Jeff Cooper said. He said, I thought this might happen. It's disgusting. I have a plan. I know what to do.
Right.
That's what we want to have happen. Not, oh, no, I can't die because I'm me. Because we all somehow think that because we're us, that we're just immune to dying or something. You know, we're all going to find out that that's not true one day. Mm-hmm. I would like for that to not be when I'm in a gunfight. So, you know, I train hard. And I train to fight. I don't train to play. I trained for a fight, and it just so happens that those skills do cross over.
Cool. I'm really looking forward to this. This is sounding like a lot of just fun. Like I use the word fun, but fun in the sense that it's going to be a really cool experience where we're going to learn a lot of stuff. It's not going to be just fun. It's going to actually be good learning experience.
Talking to you guys and listening to your podcast, I have absolutely no doubt that this is going to be a heck of a good time. You guys are going to be fun.
Well, I think. I mean, fun is can be different for a lot of people, but exactly what you have talked about to me is fun. I mean, I all my life have, even when it was serious training, it was still fun. That is fun to me. Fun doesn't mean just necessarily having to be all laughs and jokes and you know, lots of shooting, all that other stuff, learning, you know, the serious things that happen during training. That's fun to me.
Well, especially guys that are competitors, that like to shoot competition. I mean, the class is going to be challenging. It's not challenging against each other or versus anybody else. I do break out a shot timer a couple of times and have a little competition and a little giveaway kind of thing that I just do to measure baselines at the beginning. And then at the end, I tell them their times. We're on a couple of different techniques. And at the end, they see that, holy crap, I sucked this morning, and now I'm good at it. You know, it happens like that every time. Well, most every time. It didn't happen so much this past weekend with the AK. But everybody was tired, and they're like, they sucked even more. But I worked the heck out of those guys. But, you know, it's little stuff like that, but it's a gut check for yourself in some cases. And, you know, I'm not going to sound like we're out there running like crazy or anything like that. But there are times where we get a little bit physical. And, you know, some people who just sit on the couch all the time and never do anything, they're going to realize that they need to get their ass up off the couch. They need to do something, especially if they're thinking about owning a firearm and using it for self-defense. I don't care if you're in a 30-second fight or you're in a two-hour fight, you're going to be broke off, beat down, dead tired. Just because of the chemicals that get introduced to your body.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. So what do people need to bring? I mean, as far as required equipment.
This is easy. I think for you guys, I can't remember the round count I gave Trevor. Is 400 rounds excessive in Canada? Because that's where I would like it to be.
I think we can do 400 rounds.
Oh, yeah.
We'll say 350 to 400 would be a good. You could complete the course with 350, but 400 is recommended. I tell people all the time who are about to buy some gear, like, oh, I'm going to your class, man. I'm excited. Should I get this plate carrier, or should I get this chest rig, or should I get a battle belt? You know, I'm like, how about don't buy anything? You know, and go run the class, see what I'm running, see what everybody else is using, identify problems that you're having, and then find a piece of gear that solves those problems. Or you can waste money on all this stuff right now that you may or may not like in the future. They're like, hey, I like that idea, and I appreciate your honesty. And my boss is like, no, you're supposed to sell things. You know? I suck at that. I'm a horrible salesman. So it's I tell people things like that. But then they come back and buy it anyway. You know, so it's because they realize what they need, and they only buy it once because they get what they need the first time. But if people don't have gear, reload from the pockets, man. Don't worry about it. Or borrow somebody something and see if you get out there. I wouldn't even stress over it if you don't have gear. Have a rifle. Have 3 magazines. I prefer you to have 4 magazines, but have a rifle and have 3 magazines.
Now, bear in mind that here in Canada, most of the magazines are pinned to 5.
That's perfectly fine. Or okay. They're what?
Pinned to 5.
I thought there were 15 round mags.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 rounds?
Yeah. There are some who are using 50 Beowulf mags, which do allow you to legally hold 15 because they're designed to hold 5 rounds of 50. And 5 rounds of 50 translates to 15 of 2-3.
And there'll be guys who will be running pistol mags. And
Which are 10. So we'll have a combination of 10, 5, and 15 round mags.
Okay, let's say that if you only have 5 round mags, have more than 3.
Right.
How about that? But I don't mind not having 30 round magazines. I don't have my students fill their magazines with 30 rounds anyway.
Right.
Like I said, I don't rep. We'll teach reloads. We'll rep it 5 times. If you suck, we'll rep it 10 times until everybody has a concept down and they're doing it correctly so they can go home dry and replicate it by themselves.
Right.
Then we move to the next thing. That's how the course is designed. Everybody's got it. Great. We're moving on. We spend more time at some places. We spend less time at others. Not any 2 classes are the same. It's teaching the audience what they need. It's a prescription like a doctor would give. It's kind of the way I think about it. Stole that from Paul Carlson, that analogy, and it just makes great sense. Safety Solutions Academy, if you guys don't check out a good podcast, Paul Carlson at Safety Solutions Academy does a great job. He'll also be in Kansas here March 8th and 9th teaching 2 days of handgun. Love working with Paul. But anyway Go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as rifle goes, what it needs to be a rifle with a detachable magazine, then I take it?
I don't think it has to.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to come with, say, an SKS, which loads with stripper clips to the top or something, that would be okay. So basically, it needs to be a centerfire rifle. A semi-automatic rifle is what you're looking for.
Yes. But let me put it this way. If zombies came or there was civil unrest in the land of Canada and the U.S. and things were bad, and they have a rifle, I want them to bring the rifle that they would fight with.
Okay. So, for instance, my wife's favorite rifle is a semi-auto 22. That's what she's comfortable shooting. She's not comfortable shooting centerfire.
She's not comfortable shooting centerfire, she needs a 22 then. But
that's okay with you? That's not...
But I'm hoping in the future, once she gets more comfortable with it, she would move up to something that has a little bit more... oomph to it,
right?
More.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I concur.
Permanent temporary cavity.
Hey, I've been fighting this fight for a while.
No. Get her out. Let her do what she's comfortable doing, and let her have fun and enjoy it, and do what she's in her comfort zone. Don't leave it to me. The gun doesn't need to get her out of her comfort zone. I'll get her out of her comfort zone myself.
That sounds like another quote. Brian Bolivar, you may have been one-upped. Daniel Shaw is getting my wife out of her comfort zone. Yeah.
I must have missed what Brian said.
Yeah, we'll fill you in later on that.
Okay. So that's the I want people to come out, and especially a wife. And I know that's a super sensitive issue. You probably walk a thin line. You want to make sure she still keeps into it and she's interested, but you want to keep pushing her in the direction that you feel is the right direction.
That's right.
And that really is – it's a tightrope, man. It is. And, you know, Masad Ayoub told me something when I was down. Me and my wife were visiting him in Florida. And he said, you got to not push all your little nuances – I can't even talk – and pet peeves onto her. Let her develop her own. Let her shoot guns. Even if you completely disagree with it and you hate it, let her go with what she likes. And then she's probably going to come back to what works, you know. And, you know, I took that advice by about 90%. To be completely honest, and you know, people can't teach their wife a whole lot of times. I had a lot of success teaching my wife, but that's only because I put her in a class environment and treated her like every other student.
Right.
And she didn't have the kit. She didn't have things to worry about. It wasn't like, hey, let's go to the range. It wasn't like, hey, you want to spend some time in the living room with a gun for a few minutes, just dry, shooting at the wall. It wasn't any of that. It was a complete class environment that was pretty much full, and she was another one of the students, and I had a lot of success there, and she did great. I got video to prove it. She was awesome, and cool. She loved it, and she gave me a hug that night. She's like, I am so tired. I am so sorry for ever asking you to go to the grocery store or go do something after you've been up for range all day. I did not realize it was that hard.
Yeah,
and the next morning, she said the same thing, and she was so sore. Yeah. I mean, that's it, you know. Cool. And so, yeah, I let her bring that. And if somebody's running SK, if somebody's running a lever action, then use that. Or is it lever in Canada?
Lever, lever, whatever.
Okay.
We'll let lever, that one go this time.
If you're using a lever, lever action.
A lever, lever, yeah.
Bring that. You know, I don't know, in the U.S., that's a gun that I have a lot of interest in, as lever action guns, just because every time they try to break out new laws and take our rifles from us, our semi-autos, they always fail to even go after the lever action. And after semi-auto rifles are gone, a lever action is probably the most viable fighting rifle there is. So yeah, fast.
That's, you know, right.
So variety of calibers.
Before I got my AR and got any semi-automatic rifles, that was my go-to, was my quote-unquote cowboy gun. Because it is so fast to shoot, and you can load it on the fly. That's what I always loved about it. You can fire one, top it up. Fire one, top it up.
Yep. I teach that one like I teach the shotgun. If you're not killing, right. You're filling.
That's right. Yep. Love that one. what about optics?
I don't care what you bring in optics, man. We're going to work through anything. If you have a optic like I'm looking at right now on your little 1022, whatever that is, on your Skype picture.
Oh, okay. Yep.
That's fine. I'm going to teach you how to use that thing effectively in close range.
Okay. Cool.
There's a few different techniques we can use and concepts that are going to allow you to get good accurate hits at close range, even with a magnified optic. You know, if we're talking about close range, you know, EOTEX, aim points, a lot of those tend to, or some other similar red dots or holographic sights, tend to be a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
But we could still get hits with magnification, no matter what we're using. So.
Okay, cool. And then what about required experience? Basically, I'm going to guess, as long as you can safely handle a rifle, you're good to go?
I get the question, too, about age and who can come and everything else. I don't care. I need you to understand what buttons do a little bit on the gun. You know, what end the bullet comes out of.
Right.
And I need you to have a reasonable grasp on safety. Or if you don't have a very reasonable grasp on safety, then I need you to have a little bit of thick skin, because the whole class controls the safety of the class.
Right.
I will yell at somebody. I usually just kind of nonchalantly make them realize they're doing something bad right away. But then if it's a serious issue, then it goes straight to intense. If it's not a serious, I'll just kind of like a warning almost thing where it's really – yeah, dude, just me and you saw that. Don't want to happen again. You know, and then they're like, don't want to do it again. You know, like, I don't want to, you know, because he just didn't call me out, and he could have. And I've been called out so many times. This guy was nice. I don't want to do it again. You know, that kind of thing happens. Basic leadership, I guess you could say. But I tell people at the beginning, if you see me do something silly, you start seeing it. That's what we say when you got 3-year-olds, is silly.
Yeah.
you see me doing something that's just getting a little bit close to you, muzzling or doing something unsafe. My weapon's not on safe when it needs to be, when I'm down, I'm not on target. Anything. I want you to get on me. I want you to tell – I did say it right away. Like, hey, your gun's on fire right now. All right. Can you point it a little more that way? What's where you're pointing? Hey, muzzle, you know, whatever. I tell you to call me out on it. You hold me to a high standard of safety, and I'm going to hold you to a high standard of safety, and we're going to hold each other. You're not doing anybody any favors by letting them get away with doing something unsafe. You guys have these guns in your house. You have them for competition, for fun, and you have them for defense. You bought that gun probably ultimately and learn how to use it to defend your family if you have to with it. If you're being unsafe with that gun at all, then you're completely defeating the whole purpose of owning that gun, because you're going to be unsafe with it, loading it and unloading it around those you care about the most. And I really keep people on the range as long as I can. I've never kicked anybody off of a civilian range because I don't want to send them home with those bad habits.
That's right. Fix them instead.
Yes. I want them to stay in my controlled environment with all the other peer pressure and get them right. I may stand right next to them. I may put somebody else right next to them, but I want them to get right before they go home and think they're doing things okay around their family. And me reading the paper or hear that guy accidentally kills his child.
Right.
Can't have it.
Makes sense. Very good. All right. Well, I guess that brings us into the cost. So I believe it's $200 per participant.
And that's it.
We are, what was the number of participants? Was it 12?
I think we went to 12.
So.
Yep.
12. All right. So we got 12 spots open. So the $200 is due, kind of like Tommy's ASAP. I think we have a deadline of March 15th for Tommy's, but we want to get Daniel Shaw's plane ticket as cheap as possible, which means the sooner you get your payment in, the better it is for Daniel. So please send in if you want in on this course, and I know you do. Send us an EMT and an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com, and we will get your name on that list.
Matt, you should work for, like, public radio in the States.
Yeah, man, you're pretty good.
This is NPR. All right, then. So I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but we're going to continue on. So basically send us...
I have one more.
Oh, Gore, go ahead, Owen.
Never mind.
Nope, too late.
I was just going to ask Daniel what sort of targets and things he's going to be requiring. I realize I could have asked him this afterwards.
Yeah, off air would probably be best.
Off air, that would be a lot better.
Just
have your people call my people. Yeah. Let's just stick to the important stuff right now. Okay?
We'll do it that way.
I'm just kidding.
No, that's great.
Very good. Okay, well, speaking of off-air, let's talk to Daniel off-air here in a minute. But before we do that, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Thank you for coming up to Canada to do this course for us. I'm absolutely thrilled.
I cannot wait.
And now that my wife is going to be told that she's in on it too, she's going to be thrilled too. So
that's cool, man. And
now I'm going to have to try to convince my wife.
And you know what? Your wife is going to love it. And I tell you she's going to love it because I already know. I've never been in your house. I've never been around you together, but I already know what's going on. I already do. It's so easy. And she's going to be looking at me and laughing and smiling all day long as I make fun of you a little bit and pick on you a little bit and do that. And it's going to be great.
That sounds exactly what
really
I expected.
Creepy, man.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you guys are going to have a better relationship and she is going to have, she's going to be like, that was fun. When can we do something like that again?
And that would be like, well, Tommy's course is coming right up, so no. Actually, it's the other way around. Tommy's coming first. Yeah. So
yeah. You guys are gonna have a great time with Tom, man. Tom is he's a riot. He really is.
Well, she's agreed to go to that, and that'll be her first big handgun experience. I did recently I guess in the fall/winter, I built an AR, very short barreled AR for her. To use, so I might be able to convince her to come out and run that.
That'd be cool. Yeah, it'd be nice to get both our wives out there.
Yeah, heck yeah. No, Tommy's a good shooter too, man. You guys will have fun out there in that. Look, I'll be listening to that podcast after that one for sure. I'm sure you guys can get them all wise there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Cool. All right, well, thanks again.
I hope to see you guys up there in Canada in October.
And we're back. Once again, thank you to Daniel Shaw for joining us. I'm really looking forward to this class. I know that. And he also wanted us to mention, this is breaking news on Slamfire Radio.
You heard it here first, unless you're listening to this in a year's time through the archives.
Daniel's going to be working with Primary Weapon Systems in Boise, Idaho. He's putting a two-day course on May 31st and June 1st.
That's 2014 for those of you listening in the archives.
That is right, in Boise, Idaho. This class has not been announced anywhere yet, so this is very breaking news, and it's going to fill up fast, he said, most likely. So if you are close enough, if you are in Canada and close enough, or if you're listening from the States and you're somewhere near Boise, Idaho, and you want to take that class, there's not even a place to sign up yet.
Yeah, contact Daniel Shaw, probably. I would imagine, let me give you his personal phone number. It's an flash mob. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to him. You can probably just contact Thunderbird, and they will.
I would think so.
Yeah, but sort that.
Anyway, he wanted us to mention that, just kind of promote that. So, on to listener feedback, and this is from Spencer in Smyrna. He said, "Was I supposed to do this, or
go
was
for
you?"
It. No, go.
I don't. Okay. He says, hey, guys, this is Spencer the Whale, isn't it?
Spencer the Whale, yes.
He says, hey, guys, got a reloading question for you. I just got an amazing deal on a Hornady Lock and Load Progressive Press. The package had this guy's whole setup, including all the feeders, scales, extra parts, bullet puller, and a full set of 9mm dies. It even came with the latest Lyman reloading manual. Problem is, I've never actually done any reloading. I've read a couple of books on the subject, and I'm looking forward to getting everything set up and working. But my practical knowledge is zero, zip, de nada. I'm thinking that the 9mm round is a good one to learn about reloading with. Nice, straight-walled cartridge, no crimping, a limited case capacity to make double charges harder to do, plus I already have all the dies. I mean, what could go wrong?
I love it when people ask that. Oh, nothing, you'll be fine. Carry on.
He says, actually, that's what I'm hoping you master reloading types could tell me. Does 9mm sound like a good cartridge to cut my teeth on, or would you, or would something like 38-357 be better for learning the ins and outs of this black and mysterious art?
It's only black powder. It's not a black art. Come on.
Great. Any advice would be appreciated. Spencer in Smyrna.
Well, we're not going to give you any advice, so you're not going to appreciate anything. Let's move on to this next email. No. I'm just kidding. It's actually unfortunate that Trevor's not here because he would be able to answer this very well.
Yeah, well, I yeah.
Oh, and
I
think, you could too.
Mate, well, I don't know if I could or not. Sure. But I think 9mm is a good caliber to start with for the reasons, the very reasons that he stated. It's straight walled. There's no, you know, small base ties to worry about. There's no, you know, crimping. It's overall length is important, but not as critical as it would be with a rifle round, especially for precision. It's easy, you know, you don't have to lube your casings.
Well, just, yeah. Not just...
I don't.
All right. Oh, if you get one of them carbide dies, you don't.
Check your dies. Yeah, if you have carbide dies, then you're good.
Yeah, don't take our word for that, because you're going to get a case stock and blame us, so that'll be funny, well, too. We'll say Trevor said it.
I've never lubricated a single...
Well, you might have a carbide die, then.
I know I do. So check your dies. It'll say on the side of them whether they're carbide or not.
Right. Yeah. If it's not, lube your cases.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 9mm is a good round. Just do your research. Pick out a good commonly found powder. Don't get one that's hard to find and then start reloading for that and then go, crap, I can't get powder. Get a commonly found powder and then find a load that works for you in the book and just go from there. Don't worry about, you know, minimum or maximum. Just do what the book says. Don't make up your own loads. Just do what the book says for now and tweak it later once you get some experience.
That's right. You can go up or down a little bit if you want. Find something that your gun shoots well.
It's really not that black and mysterious. It's actually quite simple and very logical. Once you start doing it, everything happens in an order for a reason, and you'll quickly learn that. Just watch some videos on YouTube. It's very, very easy to do.
Yep. And I can't give them any advice on the Hornady Lock and Load because I don't have any experience with them.
Me either, but that sounds like a cool setup.
I mean,
setup.
I think that Hornady is a pretty good name as far as names go, so
yep.
I would think that those press would be fine.
I would think so. Yeah. Cool. All right, let's move on to this next email from Grandin. He writes, hello, gentlemen. I haven't written in for a while, and I hope all is well in the East. I shot the first IDPA match of the 2014 season on Sunday, February 23rd, in Drumheller, Alberta. It's called the Polar Bear 6, and it lived up to its name. At 9 o'clock, the thermometer measured negative 27 degrees Celsius, and it warmed up to a cactus wilting negative 18 degrees Celsius by 2 p.m. For our American buddies, that's 17 below Fahrenheit in the morning, warming up to zero. Thankfully, not much wind and clear, sunny skies. I have included a couple of pictures for your perusal. Yes, that's firewood in the sled with the pistol cases. Due to the forecast low temperatures, I elected to compete with my Glock 17 instead of my mainstay competition pistol, the CZ85. The Glock cycled 170 rounds with only one single light strike, which I was able to clear quickly. Not bad for a cold-soaked gun. This was far better than the two 1911s in our squad, which suffered numerous cold weather induced malfunctions. In my opinion,
you don't say.
In my opinion, he continues a very unreliable platform. Apologies to Trevor.
Don't apologize for that.
He's not here. Don't worry about it. The ease of use and superior handling characteristics have convinced me to retire the CZ from my new-to-me Gen 4 Glock 17. Final comment, reference to episode 45 and topic of precision long-range rifles. I have the bridge caliber between Mario's 338 Lapua and Trevor's 308 Winchester. I have the Savage 110 BA in 300 Winchester Magnum.
Nice.
Almost
that's, that's the rifle I want.
Yeah, it's a good caliber, too. Almost as economical to shoot as a 308 with the ballistics around halfway between the 338 and the 308. The 300 Winchester Mag is used extensively by the American military as an intermediate range sniper cartridge. It seems a good compromise of performance and economy when shooting between 6 and 1,000 meters. Thanks for continuing to champion law-abiding gun culture. Until next time. And that comes to us, like I said, from Grandin. So great email and great pictures. It's I looked at the pictures and I got a cold. That's how cold they looked. So
yeah. I can imagine if the wind had been blowing.
Yeah,
this would have gone from like minus 27 to minus 45.
Yeah, I don't want to. All right, bring us this next one. And this one, I just want to start off with by saying that we just got this on the break. Between edits, basically, this one came in, and so it was timely, so Owen's going to read it.
Yep. This Jesse says, "Hi, guys. I have been a listener since you guys started up, and I must say you are my favorite part of my week." Aw. Feel free to read this on the show if you want.
Well too late now because we started. That's the first time I've read this, so I'm glad that you put it in early.
He says, "I am emailing you in regards to the Swiss Arm reclassification, which I am sure I'm the only one emailing you about this topic. I do not own a Swiss Arms rifle, but I'm outraged, as every gun owner should be. The RCMP is robbing law-abiding citizens of over $3 million, not including taxes, because of their own negligence. I'm a 19-year-old that has, since I was a little kid, idolized police officers. I have taken post-secondary training for policing, been to Depot. Regina for training, and I work two jobs related to policing in the hopes and dreams that I can one day become the man in blue. However, today I came to the realization that I do not believe in the RCMP as a national police force. This has been from an accumulation of events such as today's reclassification and the High River gun grab. I do not believe in a police force having political power and power over legislation such as the Firearms Act. What I do believe is that the RCMP should be dissolved into provincial police forces, thus removing political power. While I can't see this ever being achieved, the second best thing, in my opinion, would be for the firearms program to be taken over by a non-political, non-biased group that is not protected by being our national police force. Today has been a sad, frustrating day for me, as I've pondered my beliefs as a hopeful police officer and as a gun owner. One thing is certain for me, though, you will never see me as a member of the RCMP, as I do not want to be branded with the same iron. I would like to end this off by saying, I'm Ron Burgundy, but I would be lying. Truth is, I'm a gun owner, and I'm pissed."
I concur.
Yep.
Yep. Fantastic email, Jesse. I think you've summed that up nicely.
And it is so unfortunate that, I mean, so many of the RCMP officers themselves on the ground are not bad people. You know, they're doing their job, they're to the best of their ability, but the organization as a whole is what's given the name RCMP, you know, a bad name in the eyes of gun owners. So
that's it. I guess we got a shout out real quick. Jason Philp, you tried really hard to send us in something about why we need 30-round mags, and you failed twice miserably. So sorry about that, but here's your shout out anyway. Try again.
Yeah. So wrapping up, be sure to join one or both of our national firearms associations, the CSSA and the NFA. Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada Forum. Like us on Facebook. No idea where we're at. And be sure to check out all the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network and the Crusader Podcast Network, both of which feature many other shows, gun-related, not gun-related, American, Canadian. It's all good.
Cool. I guess thanks for listening. Take someone shooting. We'll see you next week, guys.
And Trevor is Ron Burgundy.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.